silent mode so that class. Hare Krishna.
How much time do I have?
1 hour. 1 hour and a little more.
1 hour and a little more. I can take a little more?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to be at the hall by 11, so we need to leave by around 10:30 from here.
Immediately by 10:30, we need to. We're going to 15, eat here also.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to.
Maybe I will not leave ever. I will. Go to Goloka Vrindavan from Sarja. Is this turned on?
Yeah, on. This is green, so
I can. Yeah, now it's going on. Yeah, maybe we can turn off the light.
Come here.
Okay, but I can't have the cord is. You can have the. And just put it up a little, just so it's at the bottom of those other pictures. Okay, it's not getting the signal. Oh, there we go. Is it possible to make it like a few inches higher?
Yeah, we can. We send each other books.
Going 10 books.
10 books, so that means we've gotten half of them.
Yeah.
So just if you tell the devotee who drove us that this is only half. This is just half. This is 10 books, and there's 20 books that came to UAE. Yeah. So Sri Balabhar Prabhu said that we can sell 3 here. So if you could give me just 2 more sets, maybe.
Course book, no?
Children's
course.
Hare Krishna.
That one. That table.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava. Well, this is September 30th, 2016 in Sharjah, UAE. And we're going to be going
Shamdesh.
Yes. But that's, you see, this is being recorded, and people will Shamdesh. We're going to be going very quickly through Raghunath Das Goswami's splendid instructions to the mind, with the commentary of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. We do teach this as a 30-hour workshop. 30 hours. So if you think we are going too fast, you are correct. We are going to be going too fast, but at least you're going to get a little taste. And we were able, by Sri Balabhar Prabhu's grace, to bring a few copies into the UAE. We had some people bring them on airplanes from America. And we could sell just here 3 copies, maybe 4 if somebody is really like, "Oh, please." So this is, so why is this book important? There's basically at least 2 reasons. One is that it's called a padati. Pada means step, and hati means progress. So according to Bhakti Vinod, this book tells you how to make step-by-step progress to attain spontaneous love for Krishna in Vrindavan. Now, very interestingly, Bhakti Vinod says that Rupa Goswami tells us what to do, but it's Raghunath Das Goswami here that tells us how to do it. And what's amazing about Manashiksha is it really goes very deep in the heart. It removes everything that is false, and it gives you just what is authentic. It really is about the psychological and consciousness changes as you are progressing in Krishna consciousness. It's a very unique book of our acharyas. It's also important, and we will really only discuss this for maybe 1 minute. This book is also important because it establishes that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta taught the bona fide process of spontaneous devotion. You may be aware that there was a controversy, especially between some of the Radhakund Babajis, saying that Bhakti Siddhanta wasn't teaching the real process of spontaneous love, that he was only teaching regulated bhakti. The same complaint has been lodged against our Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, and we find sometimes devotees will leave ISKCON and go, we will find something higher someplace else. You have heard this? Yes? So this Manushiksha solves this controversy, solves this complaint. And we have written a chapter in the book specifically on this point. It's a little technical, and so I will just touch it briefly, but I don't think I'll be able to explain it properly in the time that I have. But the book does do that, and there is a chapter in the book like that. So each verse is a step on the path. Am I speaking slowly enough for all of you? It's all right?
Yes.
Yes. Probably most of you have English as your second or third or fourth language, correct? Yes? So is it okay?
Yes.
All right? Because I'm from New York.
No problem.
Okay. So I normally go at New York speed.
Yeah.
Also, because I'm from New York, I have no culture at all. So I hope you'll excuse me. I'm uncultured. I mean, Prabhupada gave me, he tried to give me, but how much I have taken is another question. So if I offend you with my Malecha culture, I'm very sorry. I have tried to fix my culture, but it's like when you dye your hair, the roots always show, you know? It's like that. My native culture always manifests itself. So although this is a pariti and step by step, it's good.
Could I have some water? Is that possible?
So we could divide this into three main sections. So the first three verses deal mostly with one's qualification and orientation. The next four verses deal with obstacles. The next four verses are the steps after having attained perfection. And the last verse is a benediction. So the benediction is that if we sing these verses with a very sweet voice, trying to understand their meanings, we will enter into the loving service of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. So what do you think? Is that good?
Yes.
So would we like... It will make another 5-7 minutes of the seminar, but if we sing the verses, we all get the benediction. So is that all right?
Yes.
All right. And we can... This is a little heavy.
No.
And it's getting flowers all over my computer. My poor computer is... But it's a beautiful garland. Thank you so much. Yes. So we can sing all together, not call and response. Okay, and this is the tune to the Jagannath Astakam, but do not change the last line. All right? So we can sing all together. Guru Goste Gostala Ishu Sujane Kusura Gane Swamandre Shri Namni We can say the English together also. Oh dear brother, oh mind, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Sri Guru, to Sri Vrindavana, the abode of cows, to the devotee residents of Vrindavana, to all the devotees on this island, to a confidential mantra given by Sri Guru, to the holy names of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh, youthful couple of Radha. So here Raghunath Das Goswami is speaking to his mind very sweetly. He doesn't have the stick yet. We will get the stick a little later. So here he's saying to have rati. See the word? Rati, yes. So to have great attachment, right? Great love. First step, is give up being ritualistic and mechanical. And who should we have love for? For gurus, for our Diksha gurus, for our Shiksha gurus, everyone who helps us on the path. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do not just see them as a saintly person, but as your friend. How would Srila Prabhupada sign his letters? Your ever well wisher. And he would also write, I hope this meets you in good health. I hope this meets you in good health and blissful Krishna consciousness. What does it mean to be a friend? A friend means they want you to be happy, correct? And when you are happy, they are happy. Envy means when you are happy, I am upset. I don't want you to be happy. How can you be happy? Huh? But if I love you, your happiness is my happiness. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. And we should see Guru like that. Guru wants me to be happy in every respect, even physically. Guru is my well-wisher. Guru is my friend. And great love for the process of surrender. Sometimes we complain, oh, I have to surrender to Krishna. No. Someone says, how are you doing? Oh, you know, I got some heavy purification, Prabhu. I don't know. But love for this process of surrender. That means love for getting rid of our false ego also. We should be very happy if somebody helps us get rid of our false ego. You understand? Generally, if somebody helps us get rid of our false ego, we become angry. How dare you tell me I have made a mistake? We should say, oh, you are helping me to get rid of my false ego. Love for the holy places, especially Vrindavana, the land of cows. Usually we love our home country, our house, our apartment, our room. And if we want to love Krishna, we should love his place. But that also means this place. We also make, you know, here's Radha Madhava. Radha Madhava is there, Lalita Vrishaka. That means Vrindavan is also here. So we should also have love for the holy place. That also means our altar. Our altar should not have incense ashes all over it and dead flowers, and we're just using our altar as our karma eliminating machine. You know? Here is my food. Take out the karma. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. You know, but actual love for any place that we make a holy place. Huh? You know what is the meaning of Tirtha? What is the meaning of Tirtha? Holy place, but what does it actually mean? Does anyone know?
Place to purify.
Residence of the Lord.
Yes, yes, but the actual meaning of the Sanskrit word?
Word of no fault.
Huh?
No.
Good guess. Good, good guesses here. It means a place where a river is very narrow, like a bridge place, a crossing place. So a tirtha is a place where you can cross from material world to spiritual world. Of course, the dham is not a tirtha. The dham is the spiritual world. You understand? So you go to Vrindavan dham, you go to Mayapur dham, it is the spiritual world. A place like this is not the dham. A place like this is a tirtha. You establish. It's like when you take your phone and you find a place where you can connect. You understand?
Yes.
Just like that. So this is a place where you can connect. And we should have great love for these places. Take care of them to keep them clean, keep them beautiful. As you know, see so many people, even they go to the dham. Oh, I get blessing, and throw my rubbish. Isn't it? Yes? So, first verse, first step, love for the holy places. Love for the devotees, this is very interesting, and I wish we had time to go into this in depth. If you are really interested, I also have detailed seminars on Manashiksha on the internet, several hours, and some on video if you want to go a little deeper. So here he says love for the devotees, and three categories of devotees. The topmost devotees are those who are always meditating on being in Vrindavan. They live in Vrindavan in their consciousness. Living in Vrindavan physically is not so important. You can be here in Sarja and you can be living in Vrindavan, and you can have your body in Vrindavan and be living in who knows where you are living. You understand?
Yes.
Resident of Vrindavan does not mean physical body is in Vrindavan. That's not what we mean. We say Rajvasi, we do not mean their physical body is in a particular place in India. is not the meaning. We mean, where is your consciousness? So I want you to have great love for the residents of Vrindavan, and great love, Raghunath Das Goswami says. This is so interesting. Not just respect, rakti, for the serious practitioners of any religion, even if they are not mentally living in Vrindavan. Love. I mean, one of the reasons that I followed Srila Prabhupada, that I came to ISKCON, was that Srila Prabhupada was teaching non-sectarianism. He did not teach only our religion is good, all other religions are bad. He did not teach like this. Never. He never taught like this. So love for any serious spiritual practitioner. Those are the intermediate devotees, and then the beginning devotees here in Manashiksha are defined as the brahmanas who live by varnashram and teach varnashram. One should have love for them also. Still have flowers on my... And love for the Gayatri mantra. So again, not ritualistically, not just buddha-ba, but the Kama Gayatri, that is Krishna's flute. The Gopal mantra, by chanting the Gopal mantra, all of our material and spiritual desires can be fulfilled. We should have great love for these mantras. And great love for the holy name. Again, not ritualistically, not, well, I've taken a vow, so just like but with great love. And this is our painting for this verse. This is Nandagram, love for the holy places. And we've taken the paintings not only from the Manashiksha verses, but also from many other scriptures and works of the Acharya. I think there's a little room right here. We can. Maybe we can. Yes. So this is from Kavi Karnapur's description in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. So a person may think it's enough to have love. If I have love for Guru, for the holy name, for the holy places, for the process, that's all I need. We find this in every religion, right? The Hindus will come, oh, I am loving Krishna's Guru. And the Christians will say, I love Jesus. Right? But is that enough? Two more things here in step one besides just love. One must also make an effort and not depend on luck. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do not become complacent. Do not think, if I am fortunate, if Krishna gives me his mercy and I am fortunate, then I will get Krishna Prema. And if he doesn't, I will not. No, one should make an effort. And then the third step in this verse one is so important. This is the theme of Manushiksha. Sara Dambhan Hitva. Always give up pride. And you could say, oh, Urmila, this is only verse one, and I have to always give up pride. I think I have to stop right now here in this Manashiksha. But you will not need to completely give up your pride until text 8. So that will be another, 20 minutes. You have to give up your pride, so don't worry. So what does this mean, Saradamba Hitva, always give up pride, as step one? So this is as far as we are capable in the beginning. And also you will see that each step in Manashiksha, we are going to be giving up deeper and deeper layers of this pride. Okay, everybody ready? Na dharmam, na dharmam, shudhiyana nirupam kila puru. Vraje rada krishna prachura parichayam ihatanu. Shachi sunam nandishvara bhakti sutta ve guruvaram. Mukunda Swara Paramajasham Nanumana. Indeed, do not perform any pious acts prescribed in Vedas and supporting literature, or simple acts forbidden in them. Staying here in Braja, please perform profuse service to Sri Radha Krishna. O mine, unceasingly remember the son of Sachi as the son of Nanumana. Srila Prabhupada particularly liked this verse. What does that mean, give up dharma and adharma? What is left? There's nothing else left. Everything is dharma or adharma. But in Bhagavad Gita 4:17, Krishna says, there is something else. There's karma, vikarma, and also
akarma.
So what is karma or dharma? This is the idea that I am a very good person. I cook and clean the house because I am a good wife. I earn the money because I am a good husband. I chant my rounds because I am a good disciple. I pay my taxes because I am a good citizen. Who is that about?
I.
Myself, yes?
I.
Can you tell me what people in the Shastra could not attain bhakti or were blocked in their bhakti because they were thinking, I am a very good person? Who had some problems in bhakti in the Shastra? What specific people?
Egoistic.
Which people? Names. Which people in the Shastra?
Duryodhan.
No, he thought he was a bad person, not a good person. That's the next category.
Indra.
Yes. Definitely. Who else?
Hiranyakashipu.
No, he didn't think he was a good
person.
Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. I can't surrender to you because I can't fight my family. Who else?
Even Yudhishthira.
Yudhishthira, when he didn't want to lie. Who else?
Bhima.
Huh, maybe. He didn't seem to have so much problem with that.
Hanuman.
When? When was Hanuman thinking?
And Bhishma Pitama.
Huh? Bhishma?
Pitama.
Yeah. The Yajnik Brahmanas?
Yes.
Daksha also?
Daksha.
Okay. So this is identity. Usually we are motivated by our identity. You know? So we give up this identity, I am a good person. And then also give up the identity, I am a bad person. So probably none of you have that problem. But some people think like that, you know? I'm a rebel. I'm a non-conformist. I don't have to follow the rules because I'm a bad person. So that's like Duryodhan. Sometimes we see this with devotees also. Because both this, I'm a good person and I'm a bad person, they entangle us in the law of karma. Now, if we can understand just this one point, my dear friends, your whole life will change. Whole life will change. One point. Instead of thinking I am a good person or a bad person, you think I am Krishna's person. Then you will be a better person. Then you will be a better person. Do not serve your family because you are a good son, a good daughter, a good husband, good wife, good mother, good father. Take care of your family because that is your service to Krishna. I call this the secret agent principle. Secret agent principle. Everyone will think, oh, she is such a good wife. He is such a good son. But you are not thinking, I am a son, I am a wife. You are thinking, I am Krishna's secret agent. And just like this, like I can be talking to you, but maybe I don't care about you. Maybe I care about you, and I am trying to impress you. You understand? I'm talking to one person, but actually I'm trying to impress a different person. We all know how to do this, yes?
Yes.
Usually religious people, they are worshiping God, trying to impress humans. See how nicely I am worshiping? You see? I'm a good devotee. See, I'm chanting. Are you watching? So reverse it. Reverse it. When you are dealing with your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your friends, everybody, you think Krishna's watching. Krishna's watching. Is he impressed? You understand? You will be a much better husband, wife, son, daughter, everything. But you will change your identity. And then you become so happy. It's a miracle that your whole life will just like change. It's not difficult. We all know how to do this, really. Yes? So, nadharma, nadharma. And then he says, how will you see Lord Chaitanya? Because you remember Lord Chaitanya wasn't in verse 1. This is verse 2. He says, you see the son of Sachi is the same as the son of Nandamarsh. You see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all there is Krishna. All incarnations. All incarnations. Nasinga, Varaha, Ram. There is my Krishna. Maybe today he's a little angry, I don't know. But you know, you see, in all the incarnations, there is Krishna. So this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami talked about Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So we wanted to have a painting with Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. And he also talked about Radha Krishna. So we're thinking, what pastime can we have Radha Krishna and Nanda Maharaj? So we commissioned this painting. This is from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana pastime. Then he says one should see the guru as Mukunda Prista. One should see the guru as the friend of the Lord. Very important. Our devotion for guru, our devotion for Krishna should not be two separate things. Because I love Krishna, I love whoever Krishna loves. So I love Krishna, Krishna loves my guru, therefore I love my guru, not separate. Okay, third verse.
Yadi charava samraja bhujisaradam radijanu yuva dvandvam tachyaya yujaitum arad abhivase swarupam shirupam sakanam ihatasya rajami stutam prenamityam swara.
Listen, O mind, if you desire in every world to reside in the land of Raja with loving attachment and swallow the youthful couple of Sri Radha Krishna in close proximity, then clearly remember and offer obeisances to Sri Swarupa, to Sri Rupa and his associates in Vrindavana, and to Sri Rupa's elder So first we're going to look at pratijanur. This means life after life. In other words, we need to be patient. Rukmini wrote to Krishna, if I cannot attain you by my austerities in this life, I am willing to have austerities life after life. And Prabhupada said, this is the dhrita vritta that is necessary for getting Krishna's favor. Then he says, follow Swarup, Rupa and Sanatan. We also put Raghunath Das Goswami here. Their books are giving us the jewels of bhakti. Why specifically Swarup Damodar? Because he's the one who taught the path of spontaneous love on the order of Mahaprabhu. He taught it in two forms, and this is the resolution of the controversy. He taught it in an external form to Bhikeshwar Pandi and in an internal form. Can you, in one of my pockets, or outside water pockets, there's a cough drop. He taught it in an internal form, I don't remember which side, one side, to Raghunath Das Goswami, which is what we have here. Oh, thank you. What we have here in the Mana Shiksha. So the external form is what most people think of when they think about spontaneous bhakti. They think about somebody doing bhajan for 4 or 5 hours every day, meditating on the pastime places in Vrindavan and all the associates of Vrindavan. And it's very visible. You can see somebody's doing that. That's a bona fide path. But this Mana Shiksha is also a bona fide path. So in Bhakti Siddhanta's time, that external path had become perverted. Unqualified gurus were giving it to unqualified disciples. And so Bhakti Siddhanta didn't use that external path. He used this internal path. But people who only know the internal path, they say, you're not doing spontaneous today. And we can see here is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's logo, which he personally designed for the Gaudiya Math. We just changed the Bangala script into Latin for Sanskrit. Srila Prabhupada put this Gaudiya Math logo on the gates of our Mayapur property, our ISKCON Mayapur property. And here you see Bhaktisiddhanta has a holy name in the middle, Lord Chaitanya at the top, Guru and Gaudiya, meaning the Sangha at the bottom. And here on this side is Vidhi or regulated bhakti. On this side is spontaneous bhakti. And we have a chapter in the book where we go into this in detail, showing that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta did in teach the path of spontaneous love, but by this Mana Shiksha, rather than by the process given by Bhikeshwar Pandit. Although that is a bona fide process. Bhikeshwar Pandit's process, although bona fide, can be imitated. It can be imitated, it can be perverted. That's not to say that everybody who's following it is imitating, we're not saying that, but it can be. This Mana Shiksha cannot be imitated. It cannot be. You cannot imitate, do I have patience? You cannot imitate, do I have humility? I mean, you can say, oh, Prabhuji, I am so humble. But you can't really imitate humility, you understand? And going through the next four verses after this, you will see you cannot imitate this. Not possible. So therefore, he taught this path. What do we mean by regulative and spontaneous love? Regulative love is your motivation for serving Krishna is mostly intellectual conviction. You have some taste, you have some experience, but you're convinced of the philosophy. And spontaneous devotion, your motivation is your attraction for Krishna. just like we see in this world between men and women. If you, someone is thinking, I want to get married, but they're not yet in love with somebody, it's very logical. Oh, I want to marry someone, she has to be like this, he has to be like that, and we, there has to be this astrology, and she has to speak Telugu. You know. They're very logical, you understand? But once you get attracted to someone, there's no more logic. You've seen? Yes? Once somebody's attracted, you can say, oh, but she doesn't speak Telugu. I don't care, I love her. So this is the... this is the difference. Regulated devotion, following Krishna because Shastra says Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. And spontaneous is, oh, he's Krishna. On this inner path, one is still following all of the processes of regulative devotion, and inside, one's feeling for Krishna is awakening like a bud turning into a flower. These are our black and white pictures. These are all from the book. So when we say one's feelings for Krishna, this means specific, like a servant. Here we have Raktak and Patrak, or like a friend. Who are Krishna's chief friends? Subal, Sridham, right? Ujvala, Madhumangal. Or in the mood of parental love, like we have Rohini, Yasoda, Nandamarsh, or in the mood of romantic love. Here's our painting for this verse. This is the beginning. Maybe you could, I'm not sure if the focus, can you play with the focus a little bit? See if we can get it a little sharper. Oh, there we go. So this is the beginning of awakening of love. Therefore, we are seeing Krishna Balaram from behind, and the cows are kicking up a lot of dust. It's just the beginning, awakening. We have the chief devotees in all of the rasas. All right, many people will think that this is all I have to do in bhakti. I have love, I have effort, I have humility, I identify as Krishna's agent, I'm following Rupa and Sanatan, I see Lord Chaitanya and Guru properly, right? I have some awakening of a relationship with Krishna, or I want to awaken that relationship. If you haven't yet awakened that relationship, do you want to? Who would like to awaken their relationship? Okay, you're all qualified to go on. And we may think, well, you know, but that must be it. We don't have to do anything more than that. That's the end of the path. Raghunath Das Goswami says, no, you have some obstacles to conquer. Now, as we are going through this, I want you to keep in mind this is a padati. Padati means step by step. So these next verses are not talking about materialistic people. They're not talking about materialistic people. They're talking about people who have already completed the first three steps of Manushiksha. Everybody understand? Yes? This is for serious devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami says, yes, you have done all those things, but what do you talk about?
Asadvarta Vesha Vishvajamati Sarvasvarini Katamuti Vyagrana Shunyukila Sarvatmakilani Api Tartva Lakshmi Padiyatini Tovya Manayani Vraje Radha Krishna Swarati Mani Dautvam Badamana.
Oh my, abandon the prostitute of mundane talks who wonders all intelligence. Do not listen at all to the stories of the tigers named Mukti, liberation, who devours all souls. Moreover, also give up attachment to the husband of Lakshmi, Sri Narayana, who only needs one Sri Pinta. Instead, here in Raja, serve Sri Narayana, who give one the truth of the world. So what do we talk about? In a meeting like this, we will talk about Krishna. And then we go out, what do we talk about? My dear friends, this is your homework, a home fun assignment. Listen to what you say. What do you write on social media? What do you talk about? What do we listen to? It is very easy that our talking is mostly about self-glorification, criticism of others, politics, sports, the economy, so many things besides Krishna. I really loved it when I taught the little children, because then you could just talk about Krishna. You know? Say, ah, oh, Krishna got up in the morning and he blew his buffalo horn. And then he said, come on, friends, let's go play in the Vrindavan forest. Krishna, Krishna, let's all play, go into the forest. And I was doing that all day, every day, you know. It was really nice. Putana was a kachari witch, and so she can fly in the sky. Although she was evil, she entered Gokula, and everyone let her pass by. But you talk like that to the devotees, they'll look at you like, I remember there was, after I taught this, one devotee came up to me and he said, Armila, have you heard the news? I said, what, Prabhu? He said, Nandamars was swallowed by a snake. And all the coward men there beating him with fire. And you know what happened? I said, what? I said, Krishna saved him with his lotus feet. What are we talking about? Especially we have to be careful of self-glorification and criticism. And Raghunath Das Goswami has some very heavy metaphors here. One gentleman said to me, well, we love these metaphors, they are very crude. I said, yes, they are, but they are not my metaphors. They are Raghunath Das Goswami's metaphors, so you can please argue with him. So he says that this kind of talk is like this prostitute. So I hope none of us would ever actually go see one of these people. But every time we are talking, I am so wonderful. Of course, we say it indirectly, you know. We don't directly say, I am so wonderful. But we indirectly say. And they are not so wonderful. Every time we are doing this, it is just like we are associating with a prostitute. And they look like very attractive. They're going to give you love and pleasure. But what do they really want? Your money only. So this mundane talk is stealing the wealth from the heart. And we see, especially people who are critical, self-glorifying, they lose their taste, isn't it? We've seen. Yes? The spiritual wealth will be gone. Then Raghunath Das Goswami says something very surprising. He said, don't talk about liberation. He said, talking about liberation is like a tigress who will eat yourself. So what does we mean? We mean like, oh, Prabhu, Kali Yuga is so bad. Oh, I can't take it. Oh, and this body and this mind, there's so many difficulties. I can't wait to get out of here. This is talks of liberation. And why is this like a tigress that eats the self? Because this is the opposite of bhakti. It's the opposite of bhakti. Just like in the wedding, what do we do with the cloth? What do? We tie. When you love somebody, you bind yourself to them. Huh? What do we call our relationship with Krishna? Sambandha. We are bound. We are binding ourselves to Krishna. Huh? When Krishna says to Rukmini, now you're free to go, was she happy? No. Those of you who are married, if your spouse says to you this afternoon, okay, you are free to go, will you be happy? I hope not. Maybe some of you will be happy. Hare Krishna. And now, of course, we have to have freedom to worship Krishna, to love Krishna. Has to be voluntary. Has to be on the platform of freedom. But if I am meditating on my own freedom, there cannot be love. You follow? You understand? So this is like eating the self. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this is like the prisoner who thinks I will get free by suicide. And he says this attachment to bhakti and mukti, it's like two witches. Now something else Raghunath Das Goswami says, and this may be a little difficult for some of you. You please forgive me. Again, I am not saying this. He says, give up attachment for Lakshmipati. So I know some of you secretly, you have a lot of attachment for Lakshmipati. You know, some devotees, they have one altar for Radha Krishna, and then they have another secret altar for Lakshmi Narayan. I've seen, yes? Yes, we worship him secretly. You know? Of course, Narayan Krishna, they're the same person. They're not different persons. We are monotheistic. We worship one God, my dear friends, only one. We don't have two gods. Same person. But what is the problem of the attachment to Lakshmipati? Interesting that he uses the word Lakshmipati. Because the residents of Vaikuntha, they have some desire to enjoy the opulences of the Lord. Like I had a friend who said to me, Urmila, I like to have wealthy friends. I said, isn't that a problem? Then you want to compete with them and you cannot compete and there's some envy. He said, no. He said, when they go on their yachts, they take me and I also go on the yacht. Their children's birthday party, they have bouncy castles and magicians and clowns, and my children also get to go. So Bhaktivinoda explains the residents of Vaikuntha, they love Narayan, But they want to enjoy the opulences of Narayana, with Narayana. In Goloka Vrindavan, they are not thinking, I want to go there for the Kalpa Vrikshas. I want to go there for the Chintamani dust. They're just thinking, I want to love Krishna. So though Krishna and Narayana are the same person, when the gopis see Narayana, they say, where is Krishna? So how do we conquer the prostitute, the tigers, and affection for Lakshmipati? Raghunath Das Goswami says we need a jewel. This is our painting for this verse. He says we need a jewel of the loving relationship in Vrindavan. This is a relationship of, I simply want to make you happy. Radharani just wants to make Krishna happy. Krishna just wants to make Radharani happy. Krishna just wants to make all the devotees happy. This mood of service, that my happiness is in pleasing the Lord and His devotees. I was just hearing Prabhupada say this morning in a lecture, that we don't try to get our happiness directly, we try to get our happiness through Krishna. So this jewel of the loving service of Vrindavan surrounds our life with transcendental sound and defeats all of these mundane sounds. Even defeats this spiritual sound of attraction to Vaikuntha. This is the sweet jewel of sound. All right, so now we have that. That is our next step on the path. And this, now we must be done, yes? Love and attachment and identifying as Krishna's servant and humility and patience. And I have this jewel of transcendental sound. Must be finished, right? What do you think? Now we have purified speech. Raghunath Das Goswami says, but what do you do?
Asak chesta kashta prada vigata pasha liriha Raka mahama di prakata vata pati yatikarai Chale bhatva hanye mahudi vaka bivartva pagane Guru tvam putkara
All right, now when we say this, you'll notice there's quotation marks here.
Yeah.
This has to be said with a lot of expression. While here on the revealed path of devotion, I have been attacked by the hideous gang of lust, etc., who have bound my neck with the troublesome, dreadful ropes of wicked deeds. I am being killed. Cry out hideously like this to the devotees of Sri Krishna, the destroyer of Baka,
online, they save you from his enemies.
This is a problem in every religion, people who speak wonderfully and their behavior doesn't match their speaking. This is the problem of the highway robbers. I think here probably in the UAE you don't have highway robbers. In India there are still places. I know the Radhakund Road, they tell you, you have to be very careful. Of highway robbers, don't drive on the road at night. So we're on the shining path of bhakti, but there are these robbers, and I hope that men will excuse me, my artist decided to draw them all as male. So these are lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, and madness, and their ropes are made out of the things we do that we know are wrong. I shouldn't watch that, and we watch it. I shouldn't eat that, and we eat it. I shouldn't do that, and we do it. Arjuna talked about this problem in the Gita. Why do I feel forced to do things that I know are wrong? And Krishna said it is your lust. So here's lust and his friends with these ropes. And these ropes are around our neck. We are like a dog on a leash being just pulled around. Huh? It feels like that, doesn't it? But my dear friends, this lust, anger, greed, they are our lust, anger, greed. You understand?
Yes.
We are not really the victims. We think I am the victim. We are not the victim. We are not the victim. We are not the victim. We like lust and his friends. We think if I didn't have any greed, I wouldn't work hard. If I didn't have any envy, I wouldn't try to excel. If I didn't have lust, I wouldn't take care of my family. We think I need these things. And because we think we need them, we have allowed them to bind us around the neck. The cure is to remember the cheating crane. So the crane stands on one leg like a great yogi in meditation. Until along comes a fish. And then again, yogi. So this is the hypocrite. And Krishna killed this demon in the form of a crane. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami does not say, call for the help of Krishna, the killer of Baka. He says, call for the help of the devotees of the killer of Baka. And Bhaktivinoda mentions Arjuna and Bhishma and Narada. So this is our painting here. This is the police officers on the path. Now, this requires some humility because we want to say, I am doing just fine. I have no problems. I am in bhakti and my life is just fine. Right? We don't like to admit we have a problem. So this is to call out for their help. Help! I am being killed. I am being killed. My bhakti is being destroyed. And they will remove these ropes. How? Because we see that they are not the slaves of these things and they are happy. It gives us faith. By their example, by their inspiration, by their instructions. By their instructions. These ropes are cut from our neck. So how would that feel if we had no more ropes of lust, anger, envy, greed? What do you think? How would that feel? How would you feel?
Amazing.
Amazing. Very happy. How else would we feel? It'd be good. Can we just imagine that for a minute? Let's just imagine that for a minute. I have no more rope of lust, anger, envy, greed. Woo! I feel like I could jump to the ceiling. I might hit the fan. So many times people think this we must be done because someone at this point is what we call a devotee in good standing. A devotee in good, they have affection, they have humility, they're following Rupa and Sanatan, patience, identify as Krishna's servant, they have this jewel of transcendental sound. They have the police officers, Bhishma and Arjuna, Narada are their police officers. Their actions are all pukka. This must be the end. What do you think? Yes. Many people think yes. I've had people argue with me after this presentation. But this is all, right? Why do I have to do more? So we have purified speech, we have purified actions. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, what about your mind?
Are Shetra Prodya Kavata Kutina Tibarakara Sharanuja Sadvada Hasikatamat Manamapinam Saratvam Gandharva Gihara Kara Prema Vilasat Sudambodha Sadva Twamapinita.
Oh, ruffian mind, why do you burn yourself and me, the soul, by bathing in the trickling urine of the great donkey of full-blown hypocrisy and duplicity? Instead, you should always bathe in the ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Shishi Gandharvika Kirihari, thereby delighting yourself. The other was about deceiving others. This is about deceiving ourselves. On the gross level, the six enemies are dead by the shining path. And we think, I'm doing bhakti. Oh, I'm getting clean. Raghunath Das Goswami says, look up. What is your shower? Maybe your shower head is the backside of a very big donkey. How do you know that in the name of bhakti, one is getting a bath in donkey urine? Raghunath Das Goswami says it burns. If we are doing bhakti, but in our heart there's a burning sensation. If we are dissatisfied, if we are angry, if we are not feeling the peace and joy of bhakti, then we have this problem. When people have this problem, sometimes they become angry at others. I am doing everything right in bhakti. Why aren't I making any progress? Must be the ISKCON leaders. Must be my wife. Must be my husband. Must be my mother-in-law. Must be somebody's fault. Huh? Or else they say, I guess bhakti doesn't work. They stop doing bhakti. Or they may say, well, maybe this is all bhakti is. This is it, and maybe when I die, I'll magically become pure, and for now I get some prasadam. So Bhaktivinoda has some analysis of this donkey urine problem. He analyzes it by three categories of sadhakas. One is the swanista. These are the householders who are doing full-time bhakti. Radha Krishna are maintaining them directly. They bathe in donkey urine when in the name of service they just want to satisfy their senses. They also bathe in donkey urine when they neglect humble devotees to give lots of special attention to people who are rich and influential. This can be institutionalized. If someone gives a big donation, then we give them flower garlands and maha and kirtan. And if someone's a humble devotee, we don't even say Hari Bol.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
This can become institutionalized. Meditating on wealth and opulence. This is also a big problem. Wanting to win arguments instead of finding the truth. So twisting logic instead of relying on the shastras. Taking up the renounced order for prestige. We had this problem in the 70s and 80s, people prematurely taking sannyas. In some places, people artificially stay in the brahmachari ashram when they really should get married. That is this problem. Then we have the parinista sadhakas. These are householders who work in the world. These are the majority of our devotees. They're following all the rules and the etiquette of the world. And you see Radha Krishna maintaining them through their briefcase. So they can bathe in donkey urine when they make a show of being very strict. And secretly, they are maintaining privately so many material attachments. This one is also quite common. This is preferring the association of the non-devotees. Here we have the Parnis, the Gyanis, and the Yogis. And this devotee is just saying, I have no place here. So I met devotees, they run a restaurant, but just vegetarian restaurant. Why they don't have prasadam? They said, oh, too much trouble to work with the devotees. They go to India for Kartik. They just don't show up when the Guru Maharaj comes to visit. They leave early to finish their rounds, right? Take half day off for Narottama Das Thakur's appearance day. So we just work with the non-devotees. So that is this problem. Then we have the parinista. These are the renunciates, the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. They bathe in donkey urine when they think, because I am renounced, therefore I am advanced. If they mistreat those who are not in the renounced ashram, if you read Prabhupada Lilamrita, you will see this, especially in 1975, 76. But sometimes we still see this, people mistreating families, women, and children. Accumulating more material things than can ever be used for service. And this is very common in every religion. In the name of preaching, just trying to attract the opposite sex. This is what I was talking about. We should try to deal with people to impress Krishna. This is again dealing with Krishna to impress other people, but specifically the opposite sex. This is also very common, also gets institutionalized. Neglecting your sadhana for collecting wealth. If someone says, it's okay, you don't have time to read Prabhupada's books because we have to collect money for the temple. You know, or someone who says, oh yeah, we have one temple that to make money they rented space to a gambling casino. So anytime we compromise our sadhana or we compromise our principles for the sake of wealth. Meditating on material things while doing devotion. So Hare Krishna, I don't have enough money. Hare Krishna, I need a new car. Hare Krishna, there's a very pretty girl. So that is this problem. This one was very difficult to illustrate because it's actually subtle, not gross. This is neglect of the internal consciousness and focusing on the externals. So having, you know, very pukka clothes, all properly pleated and ironed, and you know all the mudras, and you know the Sanskrit properly, your tilak is perfect, but you don't have the devotion. And this one, can you see what is here in this box? You have a locked box. Anyone can see what is in the box? Hearts. Yes, one devotee thought it was cookies. So this is doing bhakti, but you're not involving your emotions. So what is the same about all these donkey urine? Can anyone tell me what is the same? What do they have in common?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy, yes. What else?
It's not pure.
Yes, good. What else?
Showing off.
Showing off, yes. What else?
Pretending.
Pretending.
Boasting.
Okay, this is the really interesting thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we are attracted and charmed by this donkey urine. So it looks to us like it's bhakti. We think it's very nice. The person neglecting their reading to make money for Krishna, I am more advanced than those people who are spending time reading. I'm willing to sacrifice my reading to make money. You understand? Or one brahmachari said to me, I am teaching classes to the ladies because they really need it. And even though I am a brahmachari, I am sacrificing my principles to help the devotees. Do you understand? Do you understand? We think this is a good thing. So because our mind is telling us this donkey urine bath is bhakti, we cannot rely on our mind to cure this problem. Raghunath Das Goswami says we have to bathe in an ocean of love in order to cure this problem. And this ocean of love is at the feet of Gandharvika and Giridhari. What does this mean? This means that do not look in your mind for where you are bathing in donkey urine. Do not try to find your hypocrisy with your mind. Instead, submit your mind to this water at the feet of the Lord and say, my dear Lord, you please show me what is my problem. Just what Arjuna did. Arjuna said, Krishna, you show me my problem. Yes? He said, I can't figure it out myself. Did Arjuna think all of his excuses were good things? Yes. He thought they were good. You understand what I'm saying? He thought they were good. He couldn't understand. Why am I burning? You all following me? Arjuna saying, I'm burning, but I don't know why. Because I'm so moral, and I'm so correct, and I'm so devoted. Why am I burning? Krishna, show me the truth. So we must say, Krishna, show me the truth. Then, second step, Krishna will show you. He will show you. Not the mind. Krishna will show you. Third step, you have to choose. Because Krishna will show you, here I am. He will show you, here I am, and here is Maya. And then you choose. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, now you choose. One man said to me, Urmila, that is my favorite verse in Bhagavad Gita. I follow all the time. Where Krishna says, now you do whatever you like. Yes? So we have to choose. Choosing is hard because the mind will say, like Arjuna, oh, if I choose you, Krishna, so many terrible things will happen. It will be too hard. We have to choose. Then when we choose, Krishna will immediately remove the donkey urine bath. And he will submerge us in this ocean of love. So this must be the end. Now our mind is purified. Jewel of transcendental sound. Police officers of action. And now I'm swimming in an ocean of love. Woohoo! This must be the end. No, Raghunath Das Goswami says one more obstacle. It says you have purified your speech, your actions, and your mind. But what of your heart?
Pratishta shadrista swapacharamani me vinyate katam sadhu premasya shati suchir etanamumana sadatam seva Prabhudaita samantamatuvam yadatam nishasya twaritam ihatam deshayatisam.
As long as the unchaste dog eating desire for prestige dances in my heart, how can a chaste and pure lady of love for Krishna touch it? Therefore, O mind, you should always serve the incomparable, beloved, devotee commander of Krishna's army, who will immediately throw out the unchaste woman and establish the pure lady of love in her heart. I'm swimming in an ocean of love. There must be a party going on in my heart, Raghunath Das Goswami says. You better see who's at that party and what they're eating. Maybe what they're serving for the meal is a dead dog. This dead dog represents honor and praise. The problem is not honor and praise, but the desire for honor and praise, which is represented by this unfaithful, disloyal woman. Why disloyal? When you want honor and praise, you will not stay if somebody is correcting you. You will go only to the people who are praising you. And you see these nice ladies in the back. Raghunath Das Goswami says they will not enter while she is there. Huh? They want to enter. You're already swimming in an ocean of love. They want to enter, but they will not as long as she is there. Bhakti Vinod in his song says she has a boyfriend named Pretense. Because when we want honor, we will not be honest. We will always present ourselves a little better than we really are. And Bhakti Vinod said this desire for honor is the root of the tree of pretentiousness. All that is false in our life comes from this desire for honor. At this point in the process, what do you think a devotee wants to be honored for?
Respect.
Adoration.
Yes, but what do they want to be honored for?
For
being a good devotee. Right? The householders want to be honored for being very kind, very religious, being sinless, for being a devotee of Vishnu, for being very detached. The renunciates want to be honored for being renounced, for knowing the Shastra, for knowing devotion. We want to be honored for being a devotee. The cure is to serve the generals in the Lord's army, Raghunath Das Goswami says. These generals, they can throw this desire for prestige out of the heart. Then Krishna himself will clean the heart, and then the heart becomes like a beautiful city into which the pure lady of love will enter. What do you think?
Yes.
Would you like that?
Yes.
So how does this work? Because at this point, we no longer want to be God. We know I cannot be God. We're thinking, I can't be God, but at least I can be a saint. You understand? I can't be God. I can be a great devotee. I can be that. So the cure is serve the great devotees. Because, my dear friends, Krishna is not going to want, oh, you're such a great devotee. He's not going to be impressed. You understand? He's not going to be impressed. He's going to be impressed that we are serving his great devotees. So when we have this mood, Krishna is pleased. Then Krishna honors us. Then Krishna praises us. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that honor and recognition from Krishna is so sweet. It's so wonderful. We no longer care for the honor of the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we serve the great generals through embraces, through taking their foot dust, the remnants of their food, the water that washes their feet, and then their spiritual potency flows from their heart into ours. And then these beautiful ladies of love, this is our painting for this verse, will enter into our heart. By the way, we have prints of all of these pictures for sale on radharani.com, and the proceeds from the sale of the pictures goes to our daily cleaning at Radhakund and at Govardhan and our daily feeding of the widows there. All right, we are now finished with the obstacles. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Now we come to the turning point in Mana Shiksha.
Yata dustatvam medavayati satasti abhimaya Yata mayam prema retam abhidadya chunjvalamashau Yata shrinandarva bhajana vinaye prerayati mam Tata gosteka vragi harami hatvam bhajamanaha.
Even though I am a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature. Give me the glowing nectar of divine love and inspire my heart with the process to worship Sri Gandharva. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words, you should worship Sri Gandharva. Here's the yata. Three requests the devotee makes. Three requests. What do you see is gone here? I am a cheater. My inherent wicked nature. What's gone? What's finished in this verse? I told you were going to get rid of it. What is it? Remember I told you? In the first verse he said you're going to get rid of this? One word.
Ego.
Pride. Remember verse 1, he said always give up pride. I said you'll give it up later. This is where we are giving it up. I am no longer a big devotee. I'm a cheater. I'm wicked. Asking for three blessings. First blessing, give me mercy. The proud person asks for mercy because they are lazy. I don't want to make an effort. Just you give me mercy, mercy. I am so qualified. You give me mercy, I can take a shortcut. The humble person is asking for mercy out of desperation. Give me mercy. Only you can plant a flower in the dirt in my heart. You know, all these obstacles in Manashiksha, they may seem like a great ocean of difficulty. How will I ever get free from the prostitute and the tigress and the thieves and the donkey urine and the dog-eating woman? It's as great, it's as big as the whole ocean. As big as the Pacific Ocean. But what did the demigods say? Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2. They said if you get the mercy of Krishna, then that ocean becomes what? A little puddle. You want to watch this? Everybody watching? Ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Little puddle. That is the first benediction. I'll show you again. 1, 2, 3. All of our problems, all of our anarthas, all of our difficulties. Little puddle by Krishna's mercy. First request, give me mercy. Second request, give me glowing nectar to drink. Glowing nectar to drink. This means the nectar coming from Radha Krishna, the waves of the Ladini Shakti, illumine our heart and reveal our spiritual nature. They reveal our spiritual form, our spiritual service. Give me glowing nectar to drink. Give me revelation. Mercy, revelation. Next request, third request. Give me the shelter of Gandharvika. This is our painting for this verse. Of course, all devotees are under the shelter of the divine energy. But here, give me the full shelter of Srimati Radharani. Bhaktivinoda has many prayers to Radharani. Please accept me as your servant. Allow me to dress you, to massage your lotus feet, and to serve your devotees. When we have received mercy, revelation, and the shelter of Radharani, what will we do? We will meditate on Krishna along with his associates.
Madisha nata dve vraja vipina chandram vraja ane sarintana Tula Saki Dve Tula Hitam Vishakam Vishali Vitarana Guru Dve Priyasaro Girindra Tadve Shala Vitarati Dadve Smaramana. O mind, meditate on Krishna, the moon of the Narayan forest, as the Lord of my leader Sri Radhika. Meditate on Sri Radhika as his most dear object of wealth. Meditate on Sri Lalita as her incomparable friend. Meditate on Sri Vishakha as the foremost guru distributing the teachings of love. And meditate on Radhakunda Govardhana as the rivers of sight and love of Sri Radhakrishna.
So this is our painting for this verse. This is Raghunath Das Goswami's personal meditation. Obviously, the cowherd boys or the parents of Krishna, their meditation is a little different. This kind of meditation can be done even by the beginners. Prabhupada had us selling Krishna book in the airports to everybody. And we were not going to people, excuse me, are you a pure devotee? Do you know your swarup? Are you vegetarian? But we're giving to everyone. So he meditates on Krishna as the moon of the Vrindavan forest. On Krishna as the Lord of his leader, Radharani. Because Raghunath Das Goswami, he likes Radha more than Krishna. We should not imitate that. That is his ecstasy. And Krishna as the most beloved, Radharani as the most beloved of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda has a prayer. He said, "Oh Radharani, please, I am in this ocean of distress. Put me in the strong boat of your mercy and take me to the shore of your lotus feet." On Vishakha as the guru, teaching the arts to the devotees, as Ramananda Roy, Vishakha is teaching Mahaprabhu, who is in Radharani's mood, and he has prayers, Bhaktivinoda, to the Yamuna, who is an expansion of Vishakha. He says, "My dear Yamuna, daughter of the sun god, please save me from your brother Yamaraja." And to Lalita, the intimate friend of Radharani in the spiritual world, we have friends, we have family, we have home. right? Lalita is Radharani's intimate friend. To meditate on Radhakund, who gives us the vision and love of the divine couple. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami lived at Radhakund, right up those stairs at Manasa Pavanagat. He met every day with Krishna Das Kaviraj. And there he discussed the diary of Swarup Damodar, and that's where we get the Madhya and Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And to meditate on Govardhan. Everybody meditates on Govardhan. Giriraj Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Next, Raghunath Das Goswami has a prayer to Srimati Radharani.
Ratim Gauri Lileya Pitapati Sundaya Hiranai Sachi Lakshmi Satya Parivapati Saubhagya Bhavanai Vashi Skaras Chandra Vali Mukana Vina Vrajasati Shivyara
Of course, Radha and Krishna are one. They separate for pastimes. Radha, who defeats the pride of the demigoddesses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says she's the moonlight of bliss for the white lotuses, dear to her father, Vrishabhanu. And she defeats the pride of all the other gopis. This is our painting for this verse. This is the first time this leela has ever been illustrated. This is Krishna returning to the Rasleela, and we've done this painting exactly according to the verses in the Bhagavatam, which we have quoted here at the end of this book. Radharani is a little angry that Krishna had left the Rasleela, and she's waiting for him to come to her. And Bhaktivinoda said, we have to go through her associates. He said, to climb in the boat of the Sakhi's mercy and sail through the ocean of love to find the lotus feet of Vrishabhanu's daughter. All right, our last step on the path. Five nectars. Do these not ritualistically, like you are drinking five nectars, or eating five flavors of ice cream, or listening to five different tunes, or meeting your five best friends. Every day to drink these five nectars of worship, glorification, meditation, hearing divine pastimes, offering obeisances. 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 Worship, glorification, meditation, hearing divine pastimes, and offering obeisances. Bhaktivinoda talks about each of these in relationship to Govardhan. He says you can worship at Govardhan. You can have glorification at Govardhan. You can have meditation at Govardhan. Here Bhaktivinoda outlines the stages of meditation. These are given by Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbha. Bhaktivinoda also discusses them in Jiva Dharma and in Harinam Chintamani. Where does Srila Prabhupada discuss the five stages of meditation? In which book? Close? Nectar of Instruction. Which verse? Eight. If you have it at home, go home and read it. Quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta. In my longer presentation, we spent quite a long time on this. I also have a presentation just on the meditation stages, so this is very quick. This is going to be my metaphor. So far, these have been Raghunath Das Goswami's and Bhaktivinoda metaphors. This is now my metaphor for the meditation stages. There are five stages of meditation. The third stage has three subparts. Okay, first stage of meditation is hearing. Hearing. We start our meditation with hearing. This is like you take your milk and you put it in a pot. Okay? Second stage, you accept and internalize what you hear. It's like you light your fire under the pot. Third stage, you're really remembering. Here your milk has started to boil. Third stage, part one, interrupted meditation. You stir your milk, you cut the subject. You stir your milk, you start the doll. You stir your milk, you answer the phone. Third stage, part two, uninterrupted. You're stirring the milk constantly, but you're still looking at the doll and the subject. Third stage, part three, concentrated. Your whole focus is on that milk and it's getting thick. Third stage, part four, expanded. Meditation goes out of your japa and Gayatri time into your life. That milk is expanding. Third stage, part five, samadhi on the platform of the mind, total absorption. Fourth stage, spiritual samadhi. Here you see there's been sugar added. Mental samadhi does not turn into spiritual samadhi. Jiva Goswami says, Krishna enters the heart walking the path of our meditation. Krishna has been attracted by the mind, as Kapila Dev says in 328.34, and now we get spiritual television in the heart. Woo-hoo. Fifth stage, Burfi. That's when Krishna comes out of the heart and you see him face to face. Hearing divine pastimes at Govardhan, offering obeisances at Govardhan. Every day, Bhaktivinoda says, bathe Govardhan in these five nectars. Oh gosh, what are the five nectars again? Very good. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, worship Govardhan. This is Raghunath Das Goswami's own Govardhan Shila, which he received directly from the hand of Mahaprabhu. You see, it's a little indented because Mahaprabhu was crying and rubbing the stone. And this is our painting for this verse. It's also what we have on the cover of the book. That Lord Chaitanya, the moon in the sky-like heart of the devotees, personally gave his Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami. One devotee asked me if that was a piece of chocolate. Why at Govardhan? And that's where Radha and Krishna are enjoying with their friends. Govardhan as the best devotee. And because this is the inner path of Manashiksha, even at this stage, the devotee is still taking Charanamrita, wearing tilak, wearing the devi's garland. Now we have finished Manashiksha. This is our verse of benediction.
Manashiksha daikadasha kamaram etan manuraya ira. Sayuta Sri Rupa Nyugayina Bhavan Gomulavane Jayo Radha Krishna Tula Bhajana Ratna Salabhate.
Becoming a follower of Sri Rupa and his companions, one with the sweet voice loudly recites his 11 supreme verses, which give instruction to the mind and strives to understand all of their meanings completely, obtains an incomparable jewel, worshiping Krishna, Krishna. So here is that 12th verse, as Raghunath Das Goswami would have written it. And here are the jewels, Krishna's jewels, his makara earrings. And this is the splendid instructions to the mind by Raghunath Das Goswami with the commentary of Bhaktivinoda. Of course, we understand the Goswamis through Srila Prabhupada. Raghunath Das Goswami ki
jai!
Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki
jai!
Prabhupada ki
jai!
Okay, so we have...